think that context is important. So I'm going to read through verses 1 through 18. So bear with me. It's going to be a bit of a long read, but I think reading all of Genesis 15 in context is really important for this. And so, right, Genesis 14, Abram just, Lord delivered him victory over the kings. And in starting in verse 1, sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you, and your reward will be great." But Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eleazar of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir." Then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, "Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have." And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Then the Lord told him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as your possession." But Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, how can I be sure that I will actually possess it?" The Lord told him, "Bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." So Abram presented all these to him and killed them. Then he cut each animal down the middle and laid the halves side by side. He did not, however, cut the birds in half. Some vultures swooped down to eat the carcasses, but Abram chased them away. As the sun was going down, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a terrifying darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to Abram, "You can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land, where they will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. But I will punish the nation that enslaves them, and in the end, they will come away with great wealth. As for you, you will die in peace and be buried at a ripe old age. After four generations, your descendants will return here to this land, for the sins of the Amorites do not yet warrant their destruction." After the sun went down and darkness fell, Abram saw a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses. So the Lord made a covenant with Abram that day and said, "I have given this land to your descendants, all the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River." And I won't read the last three because there's a lot of words I can't pronounce. But I think reading it all in context before we dive in is really important because there's a lot there, but it all relates to a promise. And so 15:1, it says, "Sometime later the Lord spoke to Abraham in a vision and said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great.'" He says this right after he just delivered victory to Abram. And now even though God did this miracle for him, Abram is still scared, is still anxious, right? And how many times have we seen God provide in our lives or seen God deliver us victory over something, and then like a day later, we're like, "Oh God, like I got to pay this bill. How do I pay this bill? Like it's, how do I do this?" Or, you know, we have these moments where we just don't have the faith that we should have. And this reminds me a lot in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 28. And this is when they're in the middle of the storm and they're on the boat. But just before that, they just saw Jesus cast out demons and heal people. And now they're freaking out because there's a storm and they're on the boat with Jesus. Like, they just saw this man do miracles and they're freaking out. And I think that this is very interesting for me to have a perspective on, and I think that God has provided this for us because it shows that, one, God has never changed, right? He's saying that, "Abram, I'm going to provide for you." When Jesus is on the boat, he's going to provide and protect them. But it also shows us that humans have never changed, right? We always have struggled with faith and just continually believing. But despite that, God never leaves us stranded. In verses 2 and 3, it says, "But Abraham, O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eleazar of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth." You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir. How much is it like us to be like, yeah, that's cool, God, but I don't have this. Like, why can't you just give me this too? And we're just never content with what God is giving us in the moment, and we're always asking for more. I know I am. I'm always like, yeah, God, that's cool that you provided me this, but how about let's kick it up a notch. Let's give me a little bit more, okay? And I think that it goes back to the first point, is that like we see God provide so much in our lives that we just don't take the moment to understand, like, the Lord is our provider. Like, we have a God that provides for us. And that we always want more, which I think, you know, Abraham shows us here. And I think that's just human, right? That's just natural for us. And I think God puts these moments, I view, of, like, weakness or just of human nature so we can understand, like, this has been, we've been the same since Abram, right? And it gives me encouragement that I'm going to be okay because, as we're going to find out, Abram is, you know, he's going to have a lot of descendants. So then I'm going to skip through 4 and 5 real quick and go to verse 6. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Just because Abram believed, the Lord counted him as righteous. This is actually the first time in the Bible that faith and righteousness are used together. And I think a lot of times when things are used in the first time, words are used together in the first time in the Bible, it's pretty meaningful. And actually, the Hebrew word for faith here is aman, which means to believe. But then the definition of believe is to continually act in obedient faith. And so the Lord sees Abram, even though he's asking these questions, it's always okay to ask questions. But because Abram believed the Lord when the Lord said, I will give you as many descendants as the stars in the sky, Abram believed that. And this sounds really familiar to me because in John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. You know, God has never changed. He gives this, he bestows righteousness onto Abram just because of his faith, just because he believed. Abram didn't have to do anything extra. All Abram had to do was believe that the Lord's promise was true. And that's the same for the good news. All we have to do is believe that Jesus died for our sins and rose again. And we're just about to celebrate his resurrection next week. And all we have to do is believe in that, and we'll have eternal life. That's his promise. And so, to move forward, to go to verses 9 and 10, this is where the Lord is telling Abram, hey, bring me these animals. And it's interesting that the Lord doesn't tell Abram what to do with the animals. He automatically presents them and sacrifices them, cut them in half. And in Abram's time, this is actually like a life contract. This is an agreement that two people would do for land. They would present these animals, they would cut them in half, and then both parties would walk through the halves, and then this would be like, okay, we have made this agreement. And so Abram already knew what God's plan was to do with these animals, and because of his faith, right, as the Lord has said earlier, that Abram is now going to enter this contract, this covenant with the Lord, just through his faith alone. And that's presented even further in verses 17 and 18, where it says, after the sun went down and darkness fell, Abram saw a smoking pot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses. So the Lord made a covenant with Abram that day and said, I have given this land to your descendants all the way from the border of Egypt and the great Euphrates River. God is walking through these halves because there's nothing that Abram can do to fulfill both like his end of the promise, his end of the covenant, his end of the contract, right? And that's the same thing with our relationship with Jesus. There's nothing that we could have done to defeat sin, to defeat death. That is only something that Jesus could do. And I think it's really cool how we can see Jesus in Genesis. We can see God being the same throughout time, giving Abram this promise that he cannot fulfill himself. And so God is doing the work for Abram here. And I think that that gives us, you know, a lot to learn from Abram and from God, right? We get to see that God has been the same. And I think a lot of people might think that we read the Old Testament and we see all these things and we're like, oh, well, that's not Jesus. And the, you know, Jesus doesn't seem like this type of person or do these types of things. But in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Right? John is talking about Jesus. Jesus is the Word. We have the living Word because Jesus is living and Jesus was there in the beginning. We get to see the Jesus reflected in this covenant with Abram. Abram, again, has this vision and he presents these animals to God, and God knows that Abram can't do anything to fulfill this covenant. God knows that Abram can't really do anything to have all these descendants, have all this land without him, right? And Abram now understands that, still asks God, like, hey, what about my son? Or I don't have a son. Or, you know, he still asks these questions, but ultimately he has faith. He believed. And that's a continuous act, right? And that's the same thing with our relationship with Jesus. We have to continually have faith, continually believe, because we go back to that definition of aman, which is to continually acting in obedient faith. And I think it's really encouraging for me because I know that when I struggle or when I have something that I need to work with, I can feel like the disciples on the boat, or I can feel like Abraham, who's like, God, you're telling me this, but like, I have no clue what you're talking about. Like, I don't even have a son. How can this be true? How am I going to get this land? And the Lord just like delivered him victory from three kings who just like completely ran through like 90% of the region. And that just gives me a lot of encouragement because God doesn't change. Jesus doesn't change. There's good news for everybody. And the good news is that all we have to do is believe. You know, Abram had a promise, and God fulfilled that promise because of Abram's faith. We have a promise in John 3:16, and all we can do is offer our faith. Right? We can't let the enemy get in our heads and say, you need to have this many trophies to earn God's promises, to earn God's love. You need to volunteer this many hours to be worthy of God. You need to read this many verses to be worthy of God. You need to sing this many times a day to be worthy of God. And for me, that happens a lot. That happens, I feel like I need to do so many things to even be worthy just to pray or be worthy to worship. And that's not God, right? God says, all you have to do is believe. The good news is that there is a promise for you and an even better one than Abraham had. And just believe. And worship team is going to come up, and I'm going to pray, and we'll, yeah, okay. Lord, I just thank you for being the same throughout time, and just, letting us not have to rely on our works, that we can just believe in you and that you can just take care of any other end that we thought that we needed to do, and that you've already taken care of that, and that all we can do is believe, Lord, that you put in our hearts that even our breath is yours, God, that you remove all of us and just only have you in us, Lord. And that through that, all we can do is lift our hands and offer a hallelujah and praise you. And I thank you for just always being there, being so faithful, being so worthy of our praise. Thank you, Lord. Amen.